It's been ranked as the second happiest country in the world since 2019 by the World Happiness Index. In just a bit, guides from Denmark recommend how you can get a taste of the modest good life the Danes enjoy in the cozy coastal towns and countryside beyond the capital city of Copenhagen. And guides from Italy offer their advice for savoring the idyllic landscapes of Tuscany, both in historic Florence and in their favorite medieval hilltop towns. Let's open today's Travel with Rick Steves along the western coast of Turkey. Turkey's Aegean coast is a favorite destination among Turks for its quaint B&Bs, chances to dine on local cheeses, and stumble upon historic ruins. With its temperate weather, charming villages, olive farms, and wineries, you'll discover why the locals choose vacationing here time and time again. Our guide to this often overlooked region is Lolly Sermon. Lolly, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for inviting, and merhaba.
Merhaba. We've talked about so many things over the years, but what I really like right now is we're going to talk about a region of Turkey that Americans don't really give much thought to, but it's very popular with Turkish people looking for a coastal vacation area.
That is our choice to vacation.
So this is the entertaining coastline for the locals, and it is the Aegean. Now, there's a Black Sea coast, there's a Bosporus, there's a Mediterranean coast. My image on the Mediterranean is there's just lots of mass tourism resorts and so on.
Exactly.
And I wouldn't, for me, that's just not my cup of tea, even
Turkish tea. Maybe it's not yours, but it's some other people's. Yeah. It's not ours, but they're okay. We don't go there.
If you're a Russian looking for a cheap place to hang out on Turkey's south coast, you'd probably go to the Mediterranean coast.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but let's say you're somebody who has a family in Istanbul and you have a car and you want to drive 4 hours away and get to a whole different world and have some coastal fun. This would be it, wouldn't it?
Definitely. Transportation is so easy. You can drive, you can fly. There are freeways and toll roads, bridges, that's making all very easy.
It's remarkable to me because I haven't driven in Turkey for a long time. But if you pull out a map and you show me how far it is from Istanbul to Izmir, for example, on the center of the Aegean coast, it's remarkable that that now is connected by super freeways.
Yes.
Tollways and just nonstop. You go just like you're in
4 hours.
Just like Germany, 4 hours.
Yes.
So this is quite adventurous, I'm thinking, for a lot of Americans dreaming about Turkey, to actually rent a car and head out into the countryside. But are there any, let's say we're accustomed to driving in France or in Italy, is there anything different about driving in Turkey from a car rental point of view?
Not
from
at all.
A license, international license,
not
filling
at all.
Up the tank? That's great.
It's, if you can drive in south of France, southern Italy, you'll be as good in Turkey.
Let's talk about that coast, the Aegean coast. What would characterize it? What is it like?
First of all, speaking historically, that is where the Greek and Roman cultures are consolidated. That's where intensely they are. Yes,
oh,
they are.
That's right. The Ionia.
Ionia, yes.
Ionia was a Greek colony in present-day Turkey.
Yes. So that is where you get to see most of the Greek and Roman history. And that is where the most delicious fruits and vegetables of our country also come from.
So the ancients were not stupid to live there.
No.
It was a nice place to live.
They knew what they were doing.
Nice fruits
lots
and vegetables.
Lots of rivers running to the Aegean. Lots of valleys, lots of mountains. That is why the coastline is very intricate, but not a flat line.
And you
it
know,
is very twisty.
Speaking of twisty and rivers, I learned from you there's a river in Turkey called
Meander.
Meander.
It meanders.
It meanders, and we get that word from that.
Yes.
What a delight. Okay, so you have this higgly-piggly coastal area. What about the infrastructure for travelers? Where would you sleep?
Nowadays, it is excellent. And with the ease of transportation, of course, investments increased naturally. But the good thing is that they are not giant resorts,
because
giant hotels.
When I think of investment in tourism in Turkey, to be honest, I think of overbuilt high-rise hotels.
No.
This is different.
No, it is mom-and-pop restaurants,
nice. Small
boutique hotels converted from historic homes at times, sometimes new homes, but they're small. Nothing giant.
Ah, and everything is accessible because you have good roads.
Yes.
And you have all of this produce. There are different areas. I understand there's one region that is famous for cheese, and another that's famous for olives.
Yes.
And another that's famous for wine.
And their food is very delicious too, usually natural produce. They're very proud that their vegetables and fruits are cooked under the sun, not picked before they're ripe.
Cooked under the sun?
Cooked under the sun. That's what they say. They don't cook it physically, but they keep the produce on the branches till it's ripe. For Americans and for the rest of the world, I know that the among the finest is what you would call the Mediterranean cuisine. For us, it's the Aegean cuisine.
And that is based on olive oil?
Olive oil, the grazing land on this area, which gives the milk and the cheese and the yogurt a special taste, and the herbs that grow wild in the mountains.
So, okay, so you've got this wonderful opportunity to enjoy great infrastructure, boutique hotels, local cheese.
And you know what? Vendors will be welcoming Americans, not used to seeing many Americans.
Is there a language barrier?
I wouldn't say it's a barrier. You can still get along.
It's the hurdle,
Yes, it's not like those in the Grand Bazaar.
But what I like to do is find a town where there's commerce, and the commerce is designed for the local people, not the tourists.
Yes, and there are beautiful produce markets, and there's a produce market in every village once every week.
Oh, that's great. Lali Sermon Aran is our guide to the west coast of Turkey right now on Travel with Rick Steves. Lali and her husband, Tan, co-authored the Rick Steves Istanbul Guidebook, and they operate SRM Travel from their home base in Istanbul. They also run a boutique hotel in Cappadocia in the center of Turkey. Her website is laliaran.com, spelled L-A-L-E-A-R-A-N. So Lali, we've talked about all the edible fun. There's a lot of history along here. What would be some of the must-see historical sites on this Aegean coastline?
Oh, the first place I'd recommend you see is ancient Troy.
Troy?
Yes, Troy from Homer's Iliad.
Yeah.
Visualize the Trojan battle there. The site is very well organized. It's like the layers of a baklava, one historical level on top of the other historical level, starting from the earliest to the very top, to the Roman period. And they built a top-notch Troy Museum very recently, and it's getting into the UNESCO Heritage List.
You know, that is one thing that I think we should remind people is when there's a very important site of antiquity, generally in the last generation, they've built a wonderful museum driven in part by the need to take the art treasures out of the elements and protect them, but also present it better. So don't go to an ancient site without being sure to check out the little museum
exactly,
that's right there.
I agree. But you wouldn't call the Troy Museum a little one anymore.
Okay, that's good. Because I remember the one at Aphrodisias, which is an amazing museum.
And it's not little anymore.
It's not. So this is, okay, so there's lots of treasures.
They're expanded, upgraded, yes.
Okay, so we have Troy. Talk about another ancient Greek or Roman site we'd want to check out.
Continuing southwards from Troy, driving around, you will see lots of brown road signs. If it is brown, it indicates an ancient city. And there is another in every few miles.
Yeah.
So you cannot get away from that. But the outstanding ones would be Troy. Then comes Pergamon, ancient city, which was the leading city of the Hellenistic period, predating the Roman period.
And we know about that because of the Pergamum Museum in Berlin.
Yes.
And the German archaeologist apparently got to take home some of their favorite
finds. The altar
finds.
Of Zeus.
But they left things there, and there's still lots to see at Pergamum.
They've left the city.
Oh, well, that was nice of them.
Yes. They took the altar, but the city is still there. And it's a beautiful example of a historical acropolis perched very high on a mountain top with the view of the valley from every side of it.
Wow. You know, one of my, I like to say, arguably my favorite ancient site is Ephesus. And that's right by Kusadashi.
Yes.
It's very near.
Yes.
How does that stack up?
It is the most extensively excavated Roman ancient city anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Once upon a time, the population of Ephesus was about 250,000 people. It was a bustling port, a busy port. So that was the springboard of business was Ephesus.
Now today, it's a cruise port, Kusadashi, and cruisers want to go to Ephesus, understandably so. But I would think most of the Aegean is not plagued by cruise crowds.
No, not at all. It's only Ephesus, near Ephesus, they stop in Kusadasi. Very few stops nearby Troy, and lesser stop by Bodrum.
Bodrum, Bodrum.
Lali, there are a lot of biblical sites along the Aegean coast.
Yes.
What would we be looking for if we're looking to walk in the footsteps of Paul or something like that?
Ephesus is a must for that in that respect because that's where he lived for a while and wrote letters to the Ephesians also afterwards. But also there are the seven churches of Revelation.
Huh, tell us about that.
These are very close to the coastline. When talking about the seven churches of Revelation, we're not actually talking about physical church buildings, but congregations.
Okay. There ancient are ancient communities.
Yes, communities. And in a road trip of the Aegean coastline, these are very easily accessible from the big sites, and they are clustered very close by to one another. All of them, you can do it in 2 days.
Well, what is one that you would think is a highlight of those seven?
Well, Laodicea, I can list one. It is recently extensively excavated as glamorous as Ephesus, the monuments there. It was a very rich merchant city once upon a time, and the monuments reflect it, and it was one of the seven churches of the Revelation.
You know, when we think about the Aegean coast, some people might think that's a long way away, but if you are going to the Greek islands and you go to Samos or if you go to Rhodos, you can cross right over to the Turkish mainland and then you could pick up a car and do this adventure we're talking about. One of those ports would be Bodrum and Marmaris down by Rhodes.
Yes.
What would we find in that part of this, the south end of the Aegean coast?
Bodrum is the peak destination for Turkish vacationers.
Bodrum.
It is very popular among the Turks. There's a town called Bodrum, but the greater Bodrum is the peninsula that extends from the town of Bodrum. Uh-huh. It is full of little villages. Bodrum is a small beach city, but with a lot of facilities. Uh-huh. Restaurants, hotels, art community.
And from around there, you could catch the boat to Rhodes.
And to Simi.
And to Simi. These would be Greek islands.
Yes.
Where from there, you can catch a boat right over to Athens.
Or a flight.
Or a flight.
The distance is longer. These islands are closer to Turkey than they are to Greece.
It is interesting how many Greek islands rub right up against the Turkish coast. Lali Sermon-Aran, thank you so much for shining a light on a part of Turkey that a lot of us don't even seriously consider. But this makes me think of actually having the Aegean coast to be a destination of its own.
Definitely, yes.
Teşekkür.
Rica ederim. Thank you for inviting.
Lali recommends the wine country northwest of Istanbul and a famous mosque near the Bulgarian border. It's in an extra to today's interview at ricksteves.com/radio. Up next, lace up as we walk in the footsteps of Michelangelo, Leonardo, and Botticelli on the streets of Florence and wander the countryside of Tuscany and Denmark on Travel with Rick Steves. We're at 877-333-RICK.